Now, I never like you to leave without learning something new. So I want to talk about something, maybe a different aspect of something that we've talked about before. But hopefully it'll be a new idea for you or something to start to think about that'll give you some clues of where to begin to move forward in your life. And today's message is called Awaken. At Golden Heart, we are working to awaken you to your true identity, who you really are. You know, some people go through life, their whole life, never knowing who they really are. I know some of you are nodding and you can kind of already, you're identifying with me because before you came to Golden Heart, you didn't know who you were. And when you're lost and you don't know who you are and you're going through life, you'll try a lot of different things and still you won't be happy. You can't be happy until you discover who you're really meant to be. When you discover who you're really meant to be, now it starts to become a lot of fun. There's a calmness in your heart. There's a warmth in your heart when you know who you are. Golden Heart, we're identity based. We're helping you to discover your true identity, who you really are. And as I was saying earlier, there's a lot of experiences that we have had that have determined our identity. Things that people have said about us, traumas that we have gone through, things that we just think, that's who I am. Everything, I say Golden Heart is identity-based. Everything is identity-based, if you think about it. Based on who you believe you are, based on your identity, is going to determine what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. It's going to determine if you're going to try something new or you're not. Because you're not going to try it if you don't think that you can do it, if you don't think that's you. You're going to limit yourself. And so what we're doing really is we're helping you to understand your true identity. Now every week I challenge you and I push the limits of who you think you are. And I push the limits of who I think you are by telling you who God has said you are. If we think about it in another way, God is the creator. If God is our creator, he should understand his creation the best. He should know, why did I create this? How does it work? What was I expecting when I created this? So the creator should know the most accurately or the clearest what he created and what he created was for and what he created, what it could do, right? And so I tell you the things that God said about you and I push you to the limit because quite often when I'm telling you something, you're saying, that's not, I don't know about that. Last week I was talking about that you know all things. And that pushed some of you. But I was talking about, that's what God said. God says, you know all things. So again, this is another part of your identity because you might have been thinking, well, I don't know anything. Or I don't know much. Or I just know a little bit. When I say you know all things and I say that's what God said about you, and remember, if he's the creator, he knows better than we do what he created and who we are. Now it begins to push the limits of your identity. And I'm doing that all the time because if we can understand what God said, now we can truly see what our true identity is. If we see our true identity, then we will know what we're capable of. Our identity and how we see ourselves is everything. That's why Golden Heart is identity-based. And really what we're doing is we need to discover that true identity so we can begin to live on a level far, far above where we have set ourselves or where we have put ourselves or where we have been living. And we can live on that level of super success and happiness and joy and miracles and wonders when our true identity is revealed. Other things that I've said recently, we're children of God. You think about it, if you're a child of God, that means you're exactly like them, like him, right? You're his child. It says in the scripture that he created us in his own image. So if we're created in the image of God, that means we're like him. And even in this verse that I was reading just the other day, let me read this to you because this kind of says the same thing again. And this is in 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, the Father being God, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. They're saying, we shall be like God. I might be pushing you again. I can see some of you rolling your eyes. But I'm talking about your identity. And it's what it's saying here is that you shall be like God. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. So there's a few things it's talking about here. That we're children of God. And it says that when He is revealed, then we will know who we are. And that is always true. When we understand who God is, we start to understand better who we are. The more, and that's why a personal relationship with God is important. You can't rely on what I tell you about God or what someone else tells you about God, because you're never going to know who God really is until you talk to Him face to face. And that's how we've been designed. We've been designed that we can talk to God. That's why He put His Spirit inside of us, so that we can talk to Him and have that relationship with Him. That's the only way you get to know who God really is. And by us understanding God better, it now reveals more about ourselves. I will tell you that I've learned probably more about myself as a result of my relationship with God than I have learned about God. I have learned a lot about God, but I have learned, I think, even more about myself. Because as we understand how the Creator is, we really understand now better the creation. And if we are the creation, we now know the capabilities of what we can do. This is exciting stuff. We've got to get that identity down. We've got to say amen to this. Yeah. We've got to, I don't want to lose you. Stay with me. We've got to get our true identity down. We've got to know what our true identity is. I know some of you are saying, Ted, I know who I am. I've done a lot of work on myself. I look in the mirror every day. I know who I am, right? Some of you might be saying that. But I'm telling you that we never really truly know who we are until we encounter God, until we have that personal relationship with Him. That's when He really unveils to us. We read this verse the other day in Bible study. We were meditating on this. And when you meditate on it, it allows the Spirit of God, which is on the inside, to now give you revelation or understanding about these verses. And there was one girl who was meditating on this, and when she came back, it was revealed to her who she was. That she was a... She had all these things. I wish I would have wrote them down, because they were great. And he was talking about how she was a weaver of dreams and a leader of men. This was something else someone received, that they're a leader of men. You see, through us understanding who God is, that's why when it's talking about here that when He's revealed. And what I received was, because let me read that part about being revealed so you know what I'm talking about. But we know that when He is revealed, oh, let me go before that. Okay. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. Okay, so it has not been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. So we're children of God. So we don't know who we are until it's revealed who God is. Revealed in our life. And what God was talking to me about as I meditated on that verse, He said, He's not been revealed yet until we understand who we are. Because now we can begin to do the work of God. Remember I said you're created in the same image. When you get the understanding that that's your identity, I'm a child of God, I'm in His image, I am like him, it's saying in this verse. I am like him. Now you start to use the true power and the true gifts that God has given you. If you don't understand that, if you don't know that that's your identity, you never use those gifts. You use the gifts that you think, well, this is me. And so you end up living a mediocre life rather than a magnificent life. Say amen to that.
Amen.
We need to have it revealed to us what our true identity is so we can really know what we're capable of. You can know who you really are and what you can really do. You can access the power and the gifts and the opportunities that God has put before you so that you can live that amazing life. He wants you to live that amazing life. We need to know who what our true identity is. You know, it's interesting. If we go back to the book of Genesis, and in Genesis, there was this little incident. If you remember, Adam and Eve, they're in the Garden of Eden, right? They're in this paradise. And then they ate this fruit. And then they're no longer in this paradise. They're now struggling and toiling. When they were in the paradise, they had everything they wanted. Everything they needed was provided for them. They were living the good life. Everything was easy. Now they're outside of the paradise. They're struggling. They're toiling. They're working. They're trying to make things happen. It's not easy. Man, they are really trying to, you know, sweat it out, but it's hard. What happened? What happened to them in there? And it's very clear what happened to them when I start to look at this and think about it. They were deceived. They were deceived about their true identity. Now remember, I've been talking to you that they were created in the image of God. In the likeness of God they were created. And once God created, he said, be blessed. He wanted them to have an amazing life of blessings. He created them so that they'd be like him. The same as him. Now, what did they think, though? See, they're deceived. Now, they start talking this serpent. Then the serpent said to the woman, this is Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. They're talking about eating that fruit. She says, if I'm going to eat that fruit, I'm going to die. He says, no, you won't surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So the serpent says that to them. Now, serpent in the spiritual is representing their physical senses. Meaning, because we got our spiritual self and we got our physical self. And so, if we're only looking at the physical senses, sometimes it can deceive us because we don't see the whole picture. And now they think, we're not like God. I have to eat this fruit to be like God. They don't understand. They were already created in his image, meaning they already are like God. They don't understand their true identity. And because they don't understand their true identity, what do? Instead of being able to flow with God into the blessings that God wants them to have, they start to go against the grain and they do things on their own. They start to do what they think is good and they end up outside the paradise. Now things become hard. Life becomes hard. See, it's the same thing. If we don't understand our true identity, it's the same thing. Now we're working hard and nothing's happening. When we understand our true identity and know that we're just like him, now we can work with him using that supernatural power to make life easy so that blessings come to us easily. Don't let yourself be deceived by who you think you are based on what somebody else has said or based on your own experiences. But let it be revealed to you who you are by the personal relationship with God, by God's word as he speaks to you, and you let it be revealed by that spirit on the inside. Then the light will come on and you will know who you really are and you will know the kind of power and blessings that you've been given. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That's what God wants for you. But we've got to see the true identity. Now, it's not easy seeing the true identity because something happens. Every time truth comes in, something happens. You might have noticed this. You know, there's been times where we talk about, you know, that you're healed, that God has already given you the healing. And so we start to talk about how you already have that healing. And have you noticed this? The minute you go out from having one of those conversations over the next 2 or 3 days, you suddenly notice your throat feels a little dry and rough. Oh my God, I think I'm getting something. I think I'm getting some sort of cold, or you feel kind of weak and tired. I'm probably coming down with something. Now, we just had a conversation about how you're healed and you already have all the healing you need from God. And the minute we have that conversation, over the next week or so, you're suddenly not feeling well. Or we have a conversation about how God has blessed you with riches and abundance in all ways. And the minute we have that conversation, you go out of here feeling good, thinking, I've got the riches and abundance of God. And then you notice over the next week or month or 2 months that everywhere you go, you seem to have lack. You don't have enough money to pay your bills. Your car breaks down. It costs more than you thought. And you're running short. When we just had a conversation about how you have everything. And so why does that happen? It's because as we receive the truth of God, light is coming into the darkness. If we're living by a false identity or something that's not really our true self, it's in darkness. We're living in kind of a space of darkness. The truth, the Word of God, is light. The Spirit of God is light. And when that light pushes into the darkness often tries to push back. It's almost like there's a battle going on for territory. And we either are going to have more light in our life or we're going to have more darkness in our life. When we start to get the light in and it starts to push out, the darkness begins to push back against it. Starts to creep back in and take more territory. It doesn't want to give up the territory that it's got. And so if we let it, and it has no power to do this, but sometimes we just let it because we start to see the circumstances of our life as feeling like, well, man, I just can't get ahead. And we let that darkness push back in against us. I want to read you a little parable because Jesus talked about this. Because this is the important thing we got to do. Because how are we going to learn that true identity? We're going to receive that true identity by receiving the truth of God, the Word of God. Remember what Jesus said when he was speaking God's words. He said, my words are spirit and my words are life. He was saying that the words that he was saying about God, the things that God said, had life in them. That same life, when you receive those words, comes alive inside of you to give you the power to overcome the obstacles and the problems and to live an amazing life, to go far beyond anything you could possibly dream before. He said, my words are spirit and they're life. He was saying that even the very Spirit of God dwells in those words. And that's that same power that's on the inside of us. We have it inside of us. When we receive those words, it unlocks that power. That power now doesn't just sit in the garage. Remember, I was talking about the car in the garage. No, the Spirit's not just sitting in the garage. When we receive the Word from God, that activates that Spirit, and that power revs up and comes to the surface. And it can throw off sickness, and it can throw off depression, and it can throw off darkness, and it can throw off anything that's trying to stop you. We've got to rev it up, though, by receiving the Word of God. So Jesus was saying, my words are spirit, and they're life. And so that's how we receive the true identity. That's why I've been giving you verses and having you read them 7 times in the morning and 7 times at night, and meditating them for 5 minutes during the day at least. Because by doing that, now the light of God and His Word is truth, and truth in the spiritual represents light. So His light starts to come into us. When His light comes in, it pushes the darkness away. When there's light in something, you can see better, right? When you see better, you understand better. You understand why the situation you've been having is like this, or why you haven't been able to get out of the situation you're in, when you can see better. So you need the light to come in, push the darkness back so you can see clearly. And then you can see, ah, aha, this is why I've been doing what I've been doing and not getting ahead. Aha, this is why I've been sick. You start to now see the solution because the light comes in. When the Word of God comes in, it's the truth. It's light. And it now shines into the darkness, into who we think we are, And now as it shines in there, we begin to see the truth about who we really are. See, the identity is not gone of who you are. You are still a child of God, even if you don't know it. Even for all the people out there that don't know they're children of God, they're still children of God. But we don't act in alignment with being a child of God until we know who we are. We don't do the things that we would do until we know who we really are. You can't go against that program of what you think you are. Your identity determines that. That's why we're identity-based, and that you've got to understand your true identity. But they're still children of God, even if they don't know that, even if they're still in the dark, they still know. That's why we're talking about when it's revealed in this verse that I was reading here in 1 John. When it's revealed, then you will know who you really are. When the light of God comes in, when the Spirit of God begins to shine and pushes back the darkness, because it's more light now, it'll be revealed to you who you really are. When you know who you really are, now you'll know what you can do. And when you know what you can do, then you'll begin to do it. Say amen to that. Amen. And when you do it, then things are going to happen. Okay, so how do we get the Word of God to go in so that the light can come on so that we can see who we are? If every time the light goes in, the darkness pushes back, and right away we feel sick, or we start to feel like, this isn't working, because now there's more darkness than there's light. Let's read this little parable that Jesus told here. This is in Matthew chapter 13, and I'm reading from verse 3. This is the parable of the sower. And he's talking exactly about what I've been talking about here today. He says, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others," that's other seeds, "others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now he said this at the end of the parable, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Remember what we talked about last week? Having those ears, this is meaning being able to hear the Spirit of God. Because he tells a parable, but he's talking about something very specific, but it's kind of veiled or hidden in there, and you're only going to be able to see it if you can hear what the Spirit of God is saying about this parable, so that you know, what is he really talking about? Because he's telling a story about somebody going out and sowing some seeds. But he's talking about more than that. There's more going on than that. Now, he reveals this parable, so he wants us to be able to hear the Spirit of God so that things of God can be revealed to us so we know for sure. We have the light come on, and the light comes in and pushes back the darkness. Now we understand and we know. He explains this parable, though, so that we can know what he's talking about. So listen to what this parable is all about. In verse 18, he says, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. All right, let me explain what he's saying there. So he is saying this parable is all about you. It's all about you receiving. Remember, it's the word of God. The seed in this particular story of the sower, that seed is representing the word of God. Now, I said the word of God is light. It's the spirit, right? It's got life in it. And when you receive that seed, now the light comes on. But not all of us receive it the same way. He's saying there's challenges for some people who receive that light. The light, the word of God goes inside of them, and then it gets treated different ways. Something happens with it, right? So he kind of categorizes in a couple of different things. There's those people that hear the word and they don't even understand it. In other words, you talk about things to God with some people and they just don't get it. It just, right? You try to explain to them. Because sometimes you have insights about what God has said to you and understanding, and you try to share that with some friends, and sometimes that one person, they just don't get it. It just goes right over their head. And he's saying that's what the seed was like that falls by the wayside and the birds eat it. That's the people that just don't understand the truths of God. They're not getting them. They're not getting them, okay? But we want to get it in there. The second one, as he explains this, but he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. So this person receives it with joy. The seed that falls on the stony ground represents a person who receives the word with joy. So the light comes in, okay? The truth of God comes in. The life comes in. They've got it now. It's in there. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So this is somebody that, and we've seen plenty of people who have come to Golden Heart who want to receive their true identity, who want to have a relationship with God, who want to change their life. That's probably the number one reason they come. They want to change their life. They want something good to happen. And then they hear about the power of God, and that if they have this relationship with God, they hear how amazing things are going to happen, and they get excited, and they receive it with joy. They're like, yeah, I want that. I want that immediately. But the minute they run into a little bit of problems, which, you know, I've talked about, that we run into challenges, the darkness begins to push back on them a little bit, and they're faced with a little bit of, you know, difficulty. Maybe their spouse is yelling at them and angry. Maybe they're, you know, maybe they're feeling sick when we're talking about health. And so the minute they're faced with that challenge, they just let it all go. It's not working. Okay, I'm not going to do that. Never worked in my life. And they let it go right away. There's no root in them. Something to get rooted, it takes a little bit of time. Got to let it grow. Got to let it sink down in and reach down into the ground and get a good foundation. It takes a little time to let that get in there. And if we just let it get taken out right away, then we don't have that root in us. And so that's the people that just kind of let it fall away. Now the other one, he talks about those that are among the thorns, right? So the seeds that fall among the thorns. Now when he receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. He produces nothing. So this is people who, again, they receive the light of God, they have that light shining in them, but now they get distracted. There's too many things going on in the world, Ted. I've got this list of other stuff to do. And so they go out and they get busy, and they get so busy with all the other projects they have to do, they don't put God as a priority. And as a result, over time, that seed just kind of gets choked. It's no longer, that light is not there anymore, because they got so caught up in all the things they needed to do, all the to-do lists that they have in their life. And it's not that we can't do the to-do lists, we can do them, but this is about priorities. We need to get God involved in the to-do list. If we put him in there and say, God, help me to do all this stuff, now we've got him involved in it, it won't get choked out of us. In fact, that light will come in even stronger to help you to fulfill and finish and accomplish everything you need to accomplish. Say amen to that. Okay, but we want to be this last one. the seed, but he who has received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So once that light of God comes in, we've got to have perseverance, commitment. Liza was talking about this earlier. We've got to be committed to letting the light come in and knowing the more we can let the light or the word of God, the truth of God come into our life, the more light is going to be there. The more the light is there, the better the whole environment. Good ground is what he's talking about. Good ground. The better the environment is now to see, to understand, and to live a life of blessing. When he talks about being fruitful, he's saying about good things being produced in your life. See, the ones that were choked by the thorns, they didn't produce anything. They were unfruitful. So nothing good was produced in their life. But if you let the light come in and you persevere, you stick with it, so you let the roots grow down, you let a foundation be created. If you continue to work with God, see, that's the thing is, a lot of people come to Golden Heart and we see them begin to get excited because they hear about something good. They want their lives to get better. But then when they don't make a commitment, and what I mean by make a commitment, I mean just continue that relationship with God. Continue to talk to Him. Continue to receive more light, more word into your life so that you can continually grow. One of the things that I know is that if we're not moving forward, we're moving back. You have to understand how the kingdom of God works. We have to always be growing and moving forward. It's part of who we are, really. It might not have been what you were taught as a kid, but it's really who we are. We need to always be growing, always be learning. And since I started working with God, I have noticed my life grow and change, and God just keeps teaching me more and more things. He just keeps opening. Why? Because more light keeps coming in. As God fills me with more of His truth, I see more of the world, I see more of myself, I understand more, and then I also see the opportunities for me to do more things. Occasionally, I get lazy and maybe I don't do as much to move forward, and I just kind of say, well, this is kind of a nice place, I feel very comfortable right here, and I kind of just sit with it. What happens is, I'm not just sitting in one place though, because the darkness begins to push back in against me. And now I'm actually moving backward. More darkness starts to come into my life, more false ideas. And so spiritually, to move forward, we should always be moving forward. Because you got to think about it this way, that the plan of God is for us to continually be taking more territory. He wants you to have more stuff. He wants you to have more land. He wants you to have more riches. He wants you to have more happiness. He wants you to have more blessings. He wants you to have more. You have to get into the mentality, though, that that's my whole job, is to acquire more. In other words, I have to be growing and taking the light further. I have to take the light more. Why? Because the light is the kingdom of God, the truth of God. And so as you move forward, the light moves with you. As you move forward, now the light can move into greater and greater areas and reach more and more people. You have to be thinking like that I'm always need to be taking more. If you're sitting and doing nothing, the darkness is already pushing back upon you and moving you back, whether you notice it or not. So you have to get into the mentality that I have to always be acquiring new land. I have to always be acquiring more space. I have to always be moving forward, because that's what the Spirit of God is doing. The Spirit of God is continually shining into the darkness, shining into the darkness. So if you've already got a good space where you have the truth inside of you and you can see the truth and you have great understanding, you have to begin to think, now I need to move it out. I need to make it bigger. And that's something that's happened with me. When I first began my spiritual journey with God, I wasn't thinking that I'd be standing up here teaching you. I was only interested in myself. I only wanted my life to be better. I just wanted to be happier. And once I was happier and my life was better, then suddenly God brought somebody else into my life. And then I had a beautiful wife. And then our life was better. And then He expanded again. Then He wanted me to, talk to some people. So I started talking to a few friends. And then He expanded it again. And He wanted me to talk to more people. And then He expanded it again. And I can see now, looking back, I can see that will never stop. God is going to have me continually growing within my understanding, growing within my heart, growing in my life. And it just kept getting better and better and better and better. And God wants me to keep going, though. There's always more and more, because that's what spiritual life is. It's growth. It's learning and enjoying and loving more. It's just continually growing and growing. And it's not hard. When I say work, it's not hard. It's actually very easy, because you're working with God. And so He's going to have me always learning more and always doing more. But we got to be committed to it, because I've seen people who have come and they started off well and they were developing their relationship with God, and I see things change in their life, and they have all kinds of testimonials to give me in the beginning, and then after they have all this good stuff happening in their life, I don't see them anymore. They don't come to Golden Heart anymore. They don't develop their relationship with God anymore. And sometimes I've seen people come back after a year or 6 months or something, and they come back and they go, "Oh, Ted, I don't know what happened. Things were going so good, and now it's all gone bad. And now I came back because I feel so awful." And so again, they come back because things are awful. And again, they start to receive the Word. And again, it starts to grow. And again, good things start to happen. And again, they get so many good things that again, I stop seeing them. And it's because they don't have a commitment to understand that if you want your life to continually grow, you got to commit to receiving more light, more truth, more goodness, so that you can continue to grow and grow and grow. And the life is that God has for you. He wants it to be a life of blessing. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 29, it says, "If you know that He is righteous, and you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him." Practices righteousness. Practices is what I saw in this verse, is what stood out to me that I wanted to point out to you. We practice righteousness. Now, righteousness is being in right standing with God. And when we believe, when we receive Jesus into our heart, we receive His Spirit. We now have the Spirit of God on the inside. We are now in right standing with God. But He is asking us here in this verse to continue to practice it. In other words, you've got to know that you're righteous first, though, before you can practice it. So your identity has to get in alignment with that. Understand that that's who you are. When you understand that, now you start to practice it. You're practicing that righteousness. And the more you let yourself be... And righteousness means there's no flaws. There's no mistakes. And why is that? Because God has washed them away. He blots them out. He doesn't look at your mistakes. He's looking at the opportunities He's put in your life and the good things that can come. And that's where you need to be looking. Some of us get caught up in looking back at the mistakes we made, and we never move forward because of that. And He's asking us, stop looking at what's wrong, start looking at what's right, start focusing on what I've planned for you. And when you get yourself, when you start to practice righteousness, start to practice it, now you start to receive it, meaning more and more good things start to come into your life. More and more good things all the time. Say amen to that.
Amen.